Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch and talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banter Blender podcast, and joining me, as always, is the wonderful and lovely and hopefully very well rested after this weekend, Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and also the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast. Hey, Ronnie, what's up?
Hello, Ben.
Hello. Hello.
I just also want to say right up top, go listen to my Real Housewives of Beverly Hills audiobook recaps. They're on the iTunes. Go find them.
I apologize for neglecting to.
Oh, hey, no sorries, girl. That's a lot of things to have to announce.
It's a lot of plugs. It's like Nicolas Cage up in here. So, speaking of plugs, in addition to our usual plugs, which you've already heard, we have a few more. First of all, guess what? Next week is the Watch for Crappens 5th anniversary. That's right. This podcast is turning 5, and we are trying to put together a week of fun stuff. We will have some special guests already. We know we've got Brian Moylan, who's going to be coming on, which we love Brian Moylan. He is great. We spoke to him about 6 months ago on this show about Real Housewives in New York City. And we are just going to pick his brain about the state of Bravo since we last chatted. And we are working to get some other guests, other surprises, but don't get too excited because it's us and we do things last minute. the other fun announcement, we mentioned that we're going on a little tour this year. So first stop, Bay Area. The plan is to do a show in the Bay Area in February. We don't have the date, and we don't have the location, but, Bay Area fan people, get ready, get excited because we're coming to your neighborhood. I think we'll probably do the show in San Francisco, as opposed to Oakland, per se. But if you live in that area, please tweet at us, at What Crappens, some good venue suggestions or neighborhoods that you feel like would be good for our show. And we're going to be investigating on our own with our own friends and team. But we love all the inputs. So please, if you're in the Bay Area, if you're in Oakland, San Francisco, San Jose, San Rafael, San something, Napa.
Sam, Sally, Jesse, Raphael.
Yeah. Cancel your plans to go to NASCAR up in Sonoma and come see us instead.
You missed it anyway, suckers.
Yeah. So so that's basically that's the fun stuff. Ooh, I'm sorry, everyone. My text messages are on. I didn't put it on.
Oh, hell no.
Y'all did not get a text. It was me. It was me.
Yeah, Ben. What else you want to say? You got anything else?
I got nothing else. Why don't we talk about our shows for today? So today is like a 2.5 show day because we have Real Housewives of Atlanta. We have Top Chef, which had quite the episode. And guess what? Just last night, the First Family of Hip Hop. Is that the name of the show? First Family of Hip Hop, I think.
It is.
Premiered. So we are going to talk, we're just going to sort of give our opinions on that, not really a recap. Where do you want to start, Ronnie? Where should this crazy, crazy Monday start?
I am good with whatever you want. I'm easy breezy, beautiful girl.
You certainly are. Well, why don't we talk about the First Family of Hip Hop? It's the new show. I checked it out. I assume you checked it out too?
Of course.
And what did you think?
Well, I don't know if I was expecting the First Family in hip hop. Like,
it's a very little show.
It's like a backbeat of Obama. It was really good. It's very different for Bravo. No, it was very VH1.
It was very VH1. That does not always equate to good in my book. I'm not sure that this is an exception to the rule. I did not think it was really that good. I thought it was forgettable. I watched it last night, and an hour later I forgot that I'd even watched it. Isn't that crazy? It's literally forgettable to me.
I liked it. I didn't really know what to expect, and even after I watched it, I still don't really know what to expect. It's basically a family who used to be famous, and I mean they're still famous, but they used to be like hugely successful. And the first line of the show is, Sugar Hill hasn't had a hit in 30 years, which, I mean, is basically the whole episode. I mean, the dad, Big Lee, has taken over, and he's, like, not wanting to do shit. I mean, that guy can barely move the trash off his desk in his office. It looks like his office is in, like, it's the size of a trailer. You know, it's really, really tiny, and he's a hoarder. There's just, like, McDonald's wrappers everywhere and shit. Like, this is... I'm not sure how I feel about the cleanliness of this show.
Well, what amuses me is that a lot of the Bravo celebrities that we get these days, we have a lot of people on this network who had achieved fame a few years ago. You know, I had a big hit in 96, or I had a big hit, you know, in 2005. You know, someone has had fame. Kenya Moore was Miss USA in 92 or 93 or whenever it was. Someone's done something. This is like 30 years ago, okay? This is really stretching the Bravo celebrity brand, okay? Now, of course, the Sugar Hill Gang is hugely influential. And so Sylvia Robinson, who was the matriarch of this family, she is the one who famously found the Sugar Hill Gang. In a pizza shop, and they released their first, you know, single, Rapper's Delight, and then there was the other famous, super famous song. I want to say The Message. It's not The Message. Everyone's going to kill me. Super, super famous song. But I kind of feel like this show, much like this family, is kind of coasting off that explosive innovation 30 years ago.
Yeah, that's not even a feeling. I mean, they say it. They're like... Like, we haven't had a hit, but man, we've got enough hits from the past that are used in commercials or movies. And they're like, that's where we get that pay.
It's true. Yeah, they get.
I mean,
like,
they make enough to get welcome mats with Sugar Hill put on it, and they have enough to get like a sticker to put on the bottom of the pool that says Sugar Hill. That's more than I'm making. There's not a Watch What Crappens doormat out there. I can tell you that much.
I'm just wondering. Where is the Domino's tie-in? Domino Sugar. I mean, where is the tie-in there? They missed a huge opportunity for 30 years.
Or it started in a pizza shop, so there's another Domino's angle.
Really, every Domino's. Every Domino's should be involved. So, I mean, for me, I think the MO of this show is pretty obvious. And they don't go out of their way to hide it. That Bravo wants to give us the reality TV version of Empire. And... it's so obvious because they mention the word empire wherever they can. They'll be like, this ain't just an empire. This is a family or something like that. Like, we're talking about a new empire now. Whoa, we're going to take over this empire. And I'm like, okay, we get it. You want to be a reality TV version of Empire. The problem is Empire is like soapy and silly. And this one, you know, it didn't check off any of my Bravo boxes that I like. It did not show... ridiculous people in the lap of luxury, which I always enjoy. It didn't show anyone that was ridiculously campy. The closest we got was the lesbian, Chanel.
Loved her.
Yeah, she's the best.
And I'm sorry, but when she came on, when they said Chanel, blah, 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 and I was like, please spell it right. 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 And then it was S-H- A-N-E-L-L. And I was like, God damn it, Chanel. I was like, of course, leave it to the lesbian to misspell her damn name.
Yeah, exactly. There wasn't like enough cattiness in it. There wasn't enough silliness. There wasn't enough stupidity. It was just sort of like a pretty nice family. A nice family, upper middle class, trying to resurrect a label that's been doing nothing. You know, it just didn't work for me that much. It's not that it was bad. It just was a little dull.
Yeah, I'm not sure where it's going to go yet. I did like watching it mostly because of the lesbian chick. She's hilarious. And she's like, I was a huge star. She's got this new girlfriend, this lipstick lesbian Puerto Rican chick she met on Instagram, which, you know what? You go, girl. I'm glad that it's not just like Vanderpump Rules people meeting on Instagram. Everybody does it now, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I need to start looking hotter on Instagram. But this girl put a heart on one of her posts. And so Chanel started DMing her, and then she moved in. And she's like, this house is disgusting. So the lipstick chick is trying to fix it all up. But Chanel's going through this old box of her stuff, and she's like, here's me in, you know, TV Guide, or here's me in the Entertainment Weekly. And she says, yeah, I had my shot. She's got these big silver teeth. Mm-hmm. She's like, I had my shot, but I blew it. I stole from my management company and then went to jail. But this is a new Chanel. And I'm like, no, it's not. Chanel will steal shit out of your room. She'll probably steal shit from her own house and then wonder where it was later. You know, she'll like end up with a garage door opener in the middle of Target. Like, what am I doing with this?
Yeah.
She drunk. She seems like she's drunk through half this show. And then we see in the previews her like going crazy and crying a lot. So love her. I mean, maybe I could just, if I don't like the rest of it, at least I could fast forward to her scenes because I loved her. She was cracking me up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to see like a nice like butch lesbian on Bravo, you know, and she definitely has the most personality out of all these people, but I'm not sure that she's worth it for me to tune into this show, and I felt there was an argument later on, because another Instagram person came into the show, one of the sons. He is an aspiring record producer, and he wants to take over. Because, by the way, all the youngins, they want to take over the label because the dad is not really doing anything. So he's working with new artists, and he found this girl on Instagram, basically, and he had her over. And so this guy's girlfriend, Asini or whatever her name is, she gets mad. And so they have this fight, and it was so fake. It was just a really, really fake fight. And I know on these shows, so much of it is producer driven, but when you can see it, when you can see how the sausage is made, it's not, I don't know, it's just, it bothers me.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who else was in here. Well, the dad needs to just give up the business because he's not even pretending to give a shit. He's like, well, after mom died, was it his mom? It was his mom, right?
His mom was Sylvia.
He's like, after mom died, I never wanted anything to do with this business, and now I'm stuck here. I'm like, okay. That's not really what you want to hear on the first day of work.
Yeah.
Like, get the hell out of here. And then all his kids are trying to take it over, but they all have jobs within the company because they're still licensing that music and going on tour. So the son who fought with the girlfriend is a tour booker. So he's like, I'm an artist and a tour booker. I'm like, you know, it's like I'm the file clerk and also an artist. So it's kind of like watching poor waiters try to become famous, like on Vanderpump Rules or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, they should be maybe further along. And then also the dad, the girl, there's a young girl named Leah. She's like the baby, and she's really beautiful and she's got a great voice. And they show her recording a track or whatever, and they play it for Big Lee, the dad. And he's like, no, 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 no. I want street hip hop. That's what they need. That people like things that are familiar. And then they started naming off all of the songs that have been sampled just in the past few years, which were all great. I mean, huge hits. I'm like, yeah, but those weren't just like everything else when they came out. They were very original, which is why they're still famous. So I think this guy needs to just relax.
And Leah had a point. She's like, well, I don't want to start singing and being like, yeah, I'm from the street, when the truth is I'm like from upper middle class New Jersey suburb, you know? And he's like, but we're a street family. And she's like, yeah, but I'm not street. It's like when 50 Cent was still acting street and he had a mansion in suburban Connecticut. It's like, loses some of its authenticity after a while.
Well, maybe they can, you know, change from street and just be cul-de-sac, you know, and it could be like a new kind of cul-de-sac. You know, instead CDS. Of being like, you know, bullets and pigs and stuff, it can be like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I was walking down the street. There was a puddle. And then I jumped over, what a muddle. You see, just like make it really white and sad and then put like a little ooh behind it. And I don't know. See what you can sell. Yeah. We need some cul-de-sac hip hop.
I know, because where is Macklemore when we need him most?
I live on a really busy street, and there are always white guys in big fancy cars with their windows rolled down and big giant tires on their tiny cars. You know, these idiots.
Yeah.
And they're driving around with their cars thumping, and they're playing like the most street hip hop. You know, and it's always like some scrawny little white guy trying to be badass.
Yeah.
So I hope for cul-de-sac hip hop, just so those guys have something appropriate to listen to, because
yeah,
those fools on Fairfax don't need to be playing street hip hop.
They need some good cul-de-sac music. Yeah. We're from the cul-de-sacs. That's right. By the way, I just want to clarify something, because, you know, I'm like my own copy editor here. I was trying to remember the other Sugar Hill song, and I was saying The Message. It is The Message, but it's not by Sugar Hill. It's by Grandmaster Flash. However, Sylvia Robinson was the driving force behind that song, too, which is why I was thinking of them both together. So for those of you who are like, no, it's not Sugar Hill Gang, you are correct, but it is Sylvia Robinson.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you're like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't care. So I'm looking through the... I'm like, Smokey Robinson, wow. I mean, that's another issue with covering this show, I think, for us. We're so in the Housewives world, yeah. You know, and just the silly, that kind of world, that I don't even know what the hell they're talking about half the time. I mean, I'm half Lebanese and half white, and I grew up in El Paso, Texas. So you want to talk to me about some Selena? You want to give Selena's family a show? Okay, I would probably know some of those. But this, I'm just ignorant, you know. I don't really know anything going on or who anybody is, and I don't really care. I'm like, that song's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons why I tune into Bravo really is a certain degree of escapism, right? And I enjoy the campy delights of the network, you know. So I want people to be either catty or over the top or ridiculous within reason. I don't want them to be over the top for the sake of being over the top. I want it to be a natural thing, like a Ramona Singer, you know, or like a Kenya Moore, perhaps you could even argue for Sheree. But if they're not, like, you know, colorful enough characters, and they're not, you know, sort of wealthy enough where we, you know, you can just sort of take them down. And it's funny, I'm not even sort of
poor shaming.
It's not even a classist thing in terms of like, oh, let's take down the rich people. But for instance, it's like way more fun to take down the people on Summer House than it is to take down people who are just like middle class. I don't know what it is. It just is.
Because you're rooting for the people who are middle class. Like, I'm actually rooting for them. Like, I'm rooting for Leah to become famous and her lesbian cousin. Like, I'm rooting for all those guys. And that's awkward to watch on TV. Right. Like, I want to see them crash and burn, but I don't. Like, that's I agree with that.
But
there were some funny things. Like, I liked when Big Lee was his ex-wife, Vanetta, is coming. Leah's mom is coming over to the house. he sees her on the camera in front of the house, and he's like, oh no, Vanetta coming. Hide everything. I don't have any money. Put everything away. And he's literally putting stuff away on his desk like a paperweight. And he's like moving stuff out of the way so Vanetta can't come in and try and ask for it.
Yeah.
And she kind of does. She comes in and she's like, hey. And he's like, I don't got no money. She's like, now, come on, I'm just coming to say hi. And he's like, I'm broke. I don't got no money. And she's like, this is why I always say, don't rely on a man. I'm like, well, you're not here to smell the spilled McDonald's coffee on the rug.
Yeah. You know?
So that was really cute. And that guy in general is pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just, it's to me, it's he's funny on a grading on a curve, you know. We're looking at like, because there's no one else who's really very funny on this show, you know, except for maybe the Chanel. You know?
Yeah, Chanel's really good.
I don't know. You know, I'm willing to keep tabs on it. I'm not sure if I'm willing to watch it every week, but if people let us know, like, actually the show's getting really good, you know, sometimes these shows do stumble out of the gate, you know? I did not like Vanderpump Rules the first episode. I get it. I can be just like Vicky Gunvalson when it comes to new things. I have my walls up, to mix Bethany metaphors. I push them out, and I lash out, but, you know, I can grow to love.
I lash out. I liked it okay. I was laughing while I watched it, which is really all I asked for. But I didn't walk away. I walked away with pages of notes, but
really?
They weren't like a bunch of fun things, you know, like people I want to make fun of or whatever. Maybe Chanel a little bit in the future, just because I like how her teeth talk. And I like that she says things like she said to her girlfriend, she goes, you like this bed, baby? It's shockproof. Which, you know, shit like that's hilarious to me. I don't
know. But, you know, the thing is, you know, the show is asking us to care about which one of these kids is going to take over this record company. And it's a record company that's not doing anything. So the stakes are so extraordinarily low. You know, the entire preview of coming up this season was basically one scene of Chanel being like, you did me wrong. And then the rest is like, I'm going to take over. He's not going to take over. I'm going to take over. I'm like, I don't give a fuck who takes it over.
Well, one positive thing about this show is that they said Empire so many times. Maybe the doctor will get some business, you know?
Maybe.
Okay, well, then let's FF through that. We don't need that then if we're not into it. What else?
Yeah.
We got Top Chef and Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Ronnie, which would you like? I chose First Family of Hip Hop to start it off, so you choose the next one.
Let's go with Top Chef next.
Whoa.
Because we always do the Housewives first, and it'll be fun to talk about Top Chef.
Yeah, reversies. Big episode of Top Chef. Big, big episode. In fact, it was an hour and 15 minutes long. It was literally a big episode. Literally, it's big.
Literally! This show ruins me. I'm very easily swayed, which I've told you before, and I will do anything that's on TV. Like, I'll probably try and make a hip-hop song later. Maybe I'll try and make some cul-de-sac rock. Or if when Project Runway was on, I got a sewing machine. I mean, it's still on, but when it was on in my house, yeah. I got a sewing machine and just started sewing the shit out of things. And then, you know, whenever Top Chef is on, I go into cook mode. And this is Southern year, and I love some Southern food. So I've been making so much Southern food. None of my clothes fit. I've been making biscuits like crazy. Oh. I think I finally perfected my biscuits.
Didn't you mention last week you were inspired? You put cream cheese in the biscuits inspired by the lady?
Yes, I learned how from that super white lady family.
Wow.
And that was good. And I think that's the secret. This time I did the regular, you know, flour, a little cornstarch, baking powder, baking soda. And then a half a box of cream cheese, and then some pats of butter. And then once the mix was done, I put some cold shredded cheddar in there and some green chili, chopped up green chili.
Amazing.
They were amaz. They were amaz. So good. And I also made fried chicken this week because we went to have lunch with our friends the other day, me and Ben, and ate this fried chicken, which I could not believe it was so good.
At the Eboli,
so,
yeah.
Yes, it was really good, and I was shocked because that's like snooty, I don't know, it seems like snooty Northern California type of place.
It's a restaurant that's actually owned by Australians, and it's on the Sunset Strip, and it's beautiful, it's very quaint and lovely, but it's just not the place that you'd expect to get a really amazing piece of fried chicken.
Yes, and it was a little different. Like, it was totally white meat. There was something very light about the crisp to it. But anyway, so I came home and got obsessed with fried chicken and slaw. So I made that. So for breakfast today, I had fried chicken, slaw, and cheddar chili biscuits. Oh,
that sounds amazing. Could I actually seriously put in a request to try one of your biscuits? Sounds really naughty.
Yeah. Am I going to see you this week? I should just leave one for you in the fridge because they're actually good reheated.
I don't know if I'm going to see you this week. I mean, I could try to see you. Anything for a biscuit, Ronnie.
Well, if you're going to be passing my house, if you're going to be around here, give me a call and I'll bring it outside.
Okay, we'll work on that. You know, it's funny talking about all this food. I have to mention, this has nothing. Now this is totally un-Bravo related. But I went to dinner last night at a restaurant here in LA called Here's Looking at You, and it was so good. I actually feel compelled to talk about it on this podcast because I feel like I want to use my platform. I want to be the Meryl Streep of food for Los Angeles at this moment. I'm using my platform to tell everyone about this restaurant because it was so delicious and everyone should go. It's called Here's Looking at You. I got
a
cocktail.
Was it a compassionate restaurant, Ben?
It was compassionate to my stomach, I'll tell you that much. I'm telling you, it was phenomenal, and they have these cocktails. One of the cocktails I posted on my Instagram, in fact, was this thing, and this ties into our Southern thing. It was, it sort of tasted like an old fashioned, but it involved sweet potato liqueur, which I didn't know was a thing. Maybe they made it, but it was a sweet potato liqueur, and came with a toasted marshmallow on top. And let me tell you something, I did get it for the toasted marshmallow. I know it's a gimmick. This is a gimmick that not only worked, I feel like it's going to revolutionize my thoughts on cocktails. Because when you take a bite of toasted marshmallow and then you sip this sort of old-fashioned kind of cocktail, it is just perfection. So everyone, go toast some marshmallows and put them in your cocktail and then apply for Top Chef.
Well, I feel like you need to call the manager over at that restaurant and say, look, since I'm real streeping it, I want to have some empathy and compassion for you. Your name is too much. Ain't nobody going to remember that name. How are you going to hashtag that name? How are you going to hashtag that on Twitter? It's like the first family of hip hop. Their hashtag for Twitter. You know how they put it up on Bravo? Yeah. They're like, what was it? Hashtag the first family of hip hop. Like, guys, no one's going to be able to fit a tweet into that.
It's a character for each character on the show. Because there are like 45 people on the show.
Hashtag supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. It's like, oh, please. If Mary Poppins did that, she'd have no Twitter followers.
Just to get back to Top Chef stuff, I did want to mention, I don't think we mentioned it last week, Edna Lewis, the cookbook author who was featured on the previous episode of Top Chef. Remember, they had to get inspiration from her book. Because of Top Chef, her cookbook got a huge bump in sales. It went all the way up to number 5 on Amazon's bestseller list. Isn't that cool?
Girl, I can't wait till we die. Maybe we'll become famous.
Oh, yeah. The Crappin's Glossary is going to skyrocket to the top of the ebook downloads.
Our Erica Jane and James Kennedy songs will skyrocket.
Did you say you downloaded this Edna Lewis book?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I thought some reason. Maybe I kind of feel like I should at this point. I could write it off.
It's definitely my kind of food. I really need to get obsessed with somebody healthy because, yeah. I mean, seriously, really seeing what goes into all this food is just amazing and disgusting. Yeah. I mean, it's all cheese and butter and heavy cream and buttermilk. And yeah. I mean, it is really not healthy, but damn, it's good.
I feel like there's no good, healthy cookbook author out there. You know, if you go to Barnes & Noble and you look at the section where it's like healthy, it's always some skinny bitch being like, the all pen cap diet. All you do is eat pen caps. You're like, I don't want to do that.
Well, living in LA, we know a lot of gorgeous, really thin, truly in shape people. And I eat with them all the time. And let me tell you how they eat. They eat like Eden Sassoon from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, where she brings her own damn juice to dinner.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like orders water and then doesn't eat. They don't eat. So, of course, a healthy cookbook isn't going to be good. It's like steam some vegetables, you know, and then, I don't know, squish a cashew up until it's milk. Suck a dick.
I feel like there are opportunities out there, you know, to break away from the pack of all the skinny bitches with their cookbooks. You know, I want something that gives me the satisfaction of a Barefoot Contessa cookbook, but the value, the personal value of an Ellie Kruger. But anyway, we should talk about Top Chef.
Yeah, okay, let's talk about Top
Sorry,
Chef.
That was my fault. I really derailed it with my here's
No, I love to talk about food. I love it.
Me
and
too.
You're my friend who actually cooks. So yeah. I love to talk about it with you because my other friends are like, why ain't do that? That's gross. Let's go to a restaurant.
We should cook a dinner together again, by the way. We haven't done that in forever.
I know, we should. We should do Southern style.
Cook a dinner for two. Have
yeah,
a little
Top Chef. Yes, you know, I'll make a whole Thanksgiving dinner for one person.
We should get one of those Top Chef cookbooks and cook some of those recipes, and we can tell people how they turned out.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
that would be a fun bonus.
Yeah. So this week's episode of Top Chef, it started off with a sudden death. Quick fire, darling. Mm-hmm. Not hosted by Lisa Vanderpump, but she was there in spirit.
Sorry for manipulating you into dying suddenly, darling. Well, we knew this was going to be a weird episode because it opened post-elimination, you know, after last week's elimination. Mm-hmm. And it started with Katsuji. And I was like, oh, God, here he goes. Because Katsuji's just a little bitch now. Yeah. I mean, I guess he was always a little bitch, but
yeah.
He's going out of his way to be a jerk to people just to see if he can make them mad.
Yeah.
And he actually started saying something nice, which I was like, uh-oh, this is a full moon episode. He was like, Amanda, they were all talking about Amanda because she got kicked off. And they're like, oh, my gosh, she was crazy, but she was nice. And they're like, yeah, her bangs, but she was nice. And he's like, oh, that Amanda girl, like, you know, she's always faking. Like, I don't know, but she didn't know how good she was. Whoa, I was like, whoa, Katsuji hugs.
You know, something I noticed about Katsuji this week, which I'm sure many people have already noticed, you know, he's going for a look. He's going for like this old school, almost like barbershop look, like his hair slick back pomade, and he's always very dapper. He does his dapper thing, but he doesn't actually, he never reads as dapper. He just looks like a guy who's dressed up. But I noticed his look, he's so trying to sell this look to us that he is the only one there who unbuttons his chef's coat to make sure you can see his tie. And
it's more expensive because it's a clip-on, so I want you to see it.
For some reason, it just annoyed me. It felt really contrived. Like, this is my image, and I'm going to force this image on you. This is the way I want you to look. I was like, first of all, you know, gosh, he's doing all this cooking, he's in a shirt and tie. I sort of didn't really appreciate it every week. That's crazy. But second of all, you know, no one else has their chef coat open like that. You're the only one just trying to go for this look, and it bothered me.
Yeah, I think in addition to Top Chef, he also watches Food Network Star, mm-hmm. where they're like, you need a style. What's your style?
What's your angle?
You need some horn-rimmed glasses and maybe only cook food in a microwave for college kids.
You need to be more afraid of kimchi. Katsuji's like, okay, I made some ceviche. Okay, what we need from you is we need you to pretend you're on Food Network Star and not touch. Okay. Whoa, what's this raw fish? This is crazy. Let's put a flame to it. Am I right?
Imagine if Food Network Star had to do the challenge from last night. They would have been so confused. Like, preserved lemon? Why would you need to preserve a lemon? Just put it in the refrigerator. Is this a refrigerated lemon I'm cooking? What the heck? How's that a specialty from?
This is the craziest lemon I ever tasted. Preserved lemon. I mean, you're eating the rind. What sort of craziness is this? I never heard of that. Okay, I'll put in my meatloaf.
So let's see here. This was a horoscope challenge.
Yeah.
And so they had to do something under their sign. So there's water, air, fire, and earth. And there's like this giant bear guy named... what's his name? Michael Samaruski?
Yeah, he...
Samarist?
Yeah, he's developed into a bear over the seasons. He was originally on Top Chef Masters as a cub, I guess you could say. Maybe he was even an otter, but he has now developed into a burly bear.
Yeah, he's a bitchy bear, too, because he looks like he's going to be all straight and nice. And then he's like... growly and bitchy. It's like, oh yes, yeah. Big dirty bear, I like it. And yeah. Sheldon's like, oh, that bear looks like Captain Planet. And then they show Sheldon standing listening to him, and he goes, Captain Planet. Sheldon's such a weirdo.
I think it wasn't Michael Samaruski. I think it was because he saw all the elements.
Oh, I just wrote down Captain I wrote giant bear Sheldon Captain Planet three times.
Michael Samaruski, by the way, he is the chef at Providence here in Los Angeles, which is known to be the best restaurant in the city, and it is quite exquisite. So he can be as bare and bitchy as he wants, but he can serve up that food. As long as he keeps serving it up, I will be happy.
I don't like it. I feel like he walks around with macaroni and cheese in his beard. You know, he's like one of those guys. He'll like eat and then get some crumbs in there. There's probably like a Ritz peanut butter cracker in there somewhere.
I'm very pro Michael Samaruski, actually. I did not find him to be bitchy. I actually found him... I actually liked his complaints when he had them. He was like, ew!
Yeah, he was bitchy in a good way. Like, I liked that he was... And by bitchy, I mean, you know, on this show, especially when you're another chef, which they all are, I guess, as the judges, but I just feel like they would understand the importance of sensitivity, because every week it seems like we find out someone else was a heroin addict, you know, like everyone's got such issues in the kitchen. Yeah. Like, they're all such a fucking mess that you would think that the higher up chefs would be nicer, but they're even meaner, because that's how chefs are. You know, that's how they toughen you up.
Well, I just prefer a direct insult as opposed to what Hugh Aitchison or Aitchison, whatever, however you say his last name, his smug, smarmy, well, did you think about not overcooking this? Like, thanks, you.
Were you concerned that the beets would disgust me to my core?
No.
Have you considered becoming a librarian instead? Because I think you need to read some books on how to cook. Oh, great one.
Yeah, this one I liked. This is a sudden death challenge, and it's a Zodiac challenge. I'm just glad it wasn't about serial murder because yeah. The show can get gross.
Well, I'm surprised they weren't saying, in honor of the Zodiac, we're going to have you all make different cereals because the Zodiac serial killer.
Well, the scary thing is that Padma can actually pull that off. You know, I'd be like, okay, I'll watch that. Because she says everything like such a fucking Manson follower anyway, you know? She's like, today's challenge is based on the horoscope. Do any of you read your horoscope? And John's the only one. He's like, yeah, I am. She's like, would you say you're very emotional, John? He's like, well, I used to be. He's like, I'm a Scorpio, and that means I'm a creature that's on the ground, and I have this tail that I'm like a scorpion. Fucking idiot. Like, I have this tail that comes back over and starts stabbing people. But then after I went to therapy, I learned that I'm an eagle and I could soar above it. I'm like, you know, eagles are fucking vicious, right?
Yeah. And I was just about to make a really stupid, snarky comment that was just snarky for snarky's sake. I would be like, well, scorpions don't turn into eagles. I'm like, that's good one, Ben.
A non-Harry Potter fan over there.
So basically, I guess I don't follow astrology very closely, but everyone, depending on where you are in the zodiac, yeah, you have a sign, like a meaning like a fire sign or a water sign, whatever those.
You're too smart to fall for astrology. I'm stupid, and I fall for it every time. I did this numerology thing the other day. I found online where you look up your numerology from your birthday and your name or whatever. And so I looked mine up, and I'm like, this is me. Like, they understand me. This is perfect. And then I realized I was reading the wrong one. I'm such a sucker. I believe everything.
Oh, goodness. So, yeah, so they had to basically cook something that represented their sign. That was basically Earth.
Lena Dunham's like, I'm a bitch. I kicked a female dog. Lena Dunham is... I'm not hating her because I get her. She's like an angry girl who probably just lost 200 pounds. Like, she has that, you know, external sleeping bag that I have. And she's like really emotional and she can't help it. And she's kind of bitchy, but she wants to not be that way. Like, I like her. I like the complexity of this girl.
I do. I understand her probably feeling misunderstood by everything that she does. Like, even if she probably listens to this podcast, she's like, they don't get me. Like, I see her frustration of not being understood, or she, like, something happens, like, she cooks some shitty chicken livers and they're like, this is bad, and she's like, no, I'm really a good chef, and the frustration bubbles up and then it turns into whining, you know?
Yes.
One thing I'm surprised about is I thought she was just going to be a straight up bitch, but she's actually more of a whiner. that's surprising to me.
Yeah, she's a crier, you know? She's always feeling things super deeply, and like, she feels offended very deeply, but then she also she feels everything very deeply. It's just hilarious to me, but I can't truly root for her like I want to, because she says things like this. I don't get pressure cookers. Okay. As we've said a million times, you're on Top Chef. You need to be practicing at least a month before you get here on how to cook everything in a goddamn pressure cooker, girl.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's actually shocking that Top Chef has not already had a pressure cooker challenge. Maybe they already have and I've forgotten about it. But you would think, considering so many chefs seem to have problems with pressure cookers, that they would be like, all right, chefs, today you have to make a 5-course salad meal and you can only use a pressure cooker. Oh. You know, and then they'd be stuck using it and they'd be like, a pressure cooker? I mean, you can't make a poached salmon in a pressure cooker. So whatever, you know, they'll complain about anything. I can't deep fry my croutons in a pressure cooker.
This was also super weird because it was very Top Chef-y of me this week, because I had bought the flour because I wanted to make more biscuits. And last week I made spetzel, which is so random, but I made it because I have my best friend used to be married to this German dude named Sven, and he would make us spetzel when we were drunk, and it was amazing. And so I was like, how do I make that again? So I looked it up and I made me some spetzel, and then it was on the show and I was like, whoa, I've really had a week of flour.
Well,
it's been a week of flour here.
Well, not
and
only
you can't
was
make that, by the way, in 20 minutes. That's bullshit.
Yeah, and well, not only was there spetzel, it was Emily herself who made the spetzel, if I remember correctly. She was making something. She was pan roasting a chicken, and she's like, you know what? I've got 5 minutes left. Let me make a spetzel.
And yeah, you can't do that. You have to make the dough and then boil it and then like strain it and then fry it. You can't do that in 20 minutes. Plus make everything else that she made. So I'm a little confused by her. I'm spending too much time on this girl, but I'm just obsessed with her for some reason on the show. Like everything she, every look she gives, I'm obsessed with her. Well, I love her.
She has a standout personality for better or worse. Another person with a standout personality is Jim. Jim, our sweet official chef of the governor's mansion of Alabama, and he had to cook something, a fire sign. Here comes MJ's slider delivery. Can you hear it outside? Big old delivery today. So he had to do something for his fire sign. So what did he do? He served up a big watery bowl of broth with like a pepper in it. He's like, well, it's fiery. No, Jim.
Didn't he use watermelon too?
It was like I don't remember. It was like a watermelon consomme or something
like
that.
Yeah, he has like some weird watermelon thing. He's like, well, I don't know a whole lot about this, but I'm sure glad I did it. What a fun day. And then how Padma talks to everybody. She's like, did you mean to have a watermelon in there or whatever? And he's like, I sure did. I love a watermelon. And then they just look at him and walk away. She gives him a dirty look and walks away.
Yeah, they're like, you know what the first half of the word watermelon is? I sure do. It's water. And what's your sign? Fire. Okay.
He actually said, he goes, well, my sign is fire. And it takes a lot to get me mad. I mean, I don't get mad at anything.
Well, I was really mad when Jon Snow died. But that's not real mad.
I'm like, spoiler alert. Jimbo, get the fuck off this show now.
That guy, I can imagine him sitting there on the couch with his wife just sobbing and throwing things. Like,
I can't believe them!
I'm just imagining him like the entire time being really chipper during Game of Thrones. Oh, what a great show. Look at them all battling out. This is great. Oh, there's a dragon. That's awesome. Oh, look, someone just got stabbed. That's what the fuck? They killed Jon Snow!
HBO Go! I'm going to change this channel to HBO No! How dare you!
More like HBO Went down the drain! God fucking damn it! They killed Jon Snow!
Dear sex appeal, goodbye. Love, Game of Thrones.
It's like that time I tuned into girls and there was a boy. Like, what the hell is that? What the fuck is up with that, HBO? Well, man, now.
I love Jim's anger. Like, just thinking of Jim's anger. It's like total fan fiction because, yeah, he doesn't get mad at anything.
Yeah.
So let's see. Spetzel, Judge. Okay. So
the bottom. Go on. You go on. Because I didn't.
I was just going to read stuff that they made, but it's really just a list of shit. So I don't really have to do it.
I like to remember what they made. Cause, so the thing is, I didn't take notes for Top Chef because generally we just sort of go over it sort of at the end of our show. So, but if you tell us what we made, it comes back to me immediately and I can always chime in with some commentary.
Yes. I am right now texting Julie and Brandy.
Oh yeah.
To see if they'll come on Vanderpump Rules, and they're going to be on some gay cruise or something next week. So they can't. So I'll try and get them again. Damn it. I thought that was going to be good news. Damn you, Julie. And damn you, Brandy.
Love mm-hmm. you. Come next wow. time.
They're getting you Jim mad now.
Julie and Brandy killed Jon Snow.
No way.
So let's see.
So they made
Jamie lamb chop with pepper salad. Jamie's the tattoo guy. He's like,
I'm inspired to do the Zodiac because my wife sends me Zodiacs every day in my text messages.
He is the biggest Top Chef cliche we've ever had, I've decided. It's like anything that you expect. He's got the tattoos. I was addicted to heroin. He's got a little. I'm doing this all for my little girl. If it weren't for my little girl, I'd be dead right now. And then he's got his wife. My wife. If it weren't for my wife, I'd be dead right now. If it weren't for the cookie, I'd be dead right now. Everything is like, if it weren't for this, I'd be dead right now. If it weren't for Kleenex, I'd be dead right now. It's like, shut up, Jamie. And then, but when they gave him this whole, like, when he starts talking, I think it was around now that he starts talking about, I was on heroin. I was at John George. And I was on heroin. I mean, by the way, how many people at John George wind up on heroin? I feel like every episode of Top Chef, I was cooking for John George and I wound up on heroin.
It's something about the prep work at John George.
It drives people. So when he started doing that, I was like, this is weird because You know, it was after the quickfire because Jamie won immunity with the quickfire. He actually he had the best dish. So I was like, this is weird because people only talk about their heroin addictions if they're about to go home. I don't understand.
Well, you know, Jim's heroine was Jon Snow, so.
Exactly.
I only get mad when I can't get my heroin.
I need to be more than Jon Snow!
So I won't read all those because we're going to be doing this podcast for 20 hours. But basically, the bottoms were Jim, which, I mean, at least, you know, at least someone made him admit it. Jim. who was it? Jim. Was it Lena Dunham?
Let me I think see it was bottom, yeah, Lena bottom. Dunham. They didn't like Lena. And it was John.
Jim Silva, too. Oh, wait. And Bitchy Bear was like, that was underrealized. And he was like, okay. So he had to
do it,
too.
Oh, John was not at the bottom. That's right. Silva was. That's right. Silva did. I can't remember what he did all of a sudden. I feel like it was some bean thing.
Well, they all did a beef tartare because they all had to use the same ingredients for this. So they had to do a beef tartare. And he did a braised beef tartare in beets.
Right.
And it looked like a bloody bowl. It just looked like a bloody bowl of meat.
It did. And there was controversy because he was doing it tataki style. Like, ooh, it's supposed to be tartare, but he's going to sear it for 10 seconds. Ooh, wow. So,
yeah, this fucking show.
Yeah,
they're like, you have 3 minutes to make a steak. What the hell?
Yeah, I well, what was funny to me is that when they were given 20 minutes, and I think that Emily suggested something like, well, why don't we do a pan sear? And they're like, that's ridiculous. We only have 20 minutes. I'm like, how long are you cooking your steaks for? Please. so they did the tartare, and then she did her tartare with beet chips and potato chips because they always need to crunch. And Jim just did.
Adma got mad. She was like, did you mean for your beet chips to be so aggressive? She's like, well, yeah, because they're chips. So, you know, chips are like supposed to be. Yeah, I stand by it. I stand by it. Chips. I stand by it. Seasoning on chips. Adma's like, oh, okay, lesbian.
And then Jim just did a pretty normal one, right? He did
Jim was like, I forgot what Jim did, actually.
It was, the point was, he made something that was like really small, so when they served it, there was like this big long rectangular plate and then like a little dollop at the end, and Pam was like, did you mean to make so little tartar? He's like, yeah, sure did.
I sure did. I like it simple.
And then the guest judge was like, well, that's simple, all right. Damn.
Shady Simmerusti. Yeah,
he was. So let's see. The loser was Jim. So he was out of there. And I was so sad for Jim. I really love Jim. And I feel like it's just further proof that having a positive attitude does not do shit for you. So why waste your time? You know?
Yeah. I was very bummed out about it. You know, actually, a lot of people were bummed out because I feel like a few people tweeted and were like, oh my God, can you believe about Jim? I'm like, the episode aired 2 hours ago. Why?
I know, people did. Someone did that for The Bachelor. They were like, well, the wifey is. And I was like, oh, come on. I have to sit through the rest of this knowing who wins. Come on.
But it actually was okay because when people were like, Jim, I was like, oh, now the episode's ruined. But then it was just the sudden death quickfire. So there was still plenty for me to get to be engaged in.
Well, next is the real challenge, the main challenge. So Padma comes out and she's like, in our next challenge, you might find yourself walking the plank. Cha-ching! She's like, there is a man, a scary man. A man with a giant, dirty beard. And I was like, oh, no. It's finally a Salmon Rushdie challenge, girl. She's admitting it. She's coming clean, finally. But this was a pirate challenge. Yeah. And basically, they have to go on this treasure hunt with maps and get ingredients. Style. Yeah, kind of amazing. Like, you know, the amazing race is like the laziest people in the world are chefs. They ain't going to do shit. Katsuchi was like, oh, I got to run.
Yeah. These are people who could barely do the quick fire last week where they had to pick one item from the pantry at a time. They're like, I have to go back for apples. Wish me luck. It's like 5 feet away.
Sheldon's like, I trip carrying an egg. I cannot move for another week.
To me, it was very clear that this was all shot over a weekend because, you know, it was very... They didn't have to go to Whole Foods, you know. The challenge took place in the kitchen. This was just like, okay, the main staff is going off to do something, and here are PAs, you come up with a challenge for them. Okay, how about some of the pirates and zodiac signs? Oh, okay, I guess that works.
Whole Foods has put a ban on our show from coming in there for another episode because we make a goddamn mess every time we go in.
Yeah, so they had to go running around Charleston finding these treasure boxes. It was like first come, first serve, you know, because each box had its own unique ingredients. So if you were the last, you'd probably get stuck with the crappy ingredients. So in anticipation of this, there were three teams, and one team had Jamie, Emily, and John on it. And John's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. If we just have crappy ingredients, we'll just give it to Jamie because he got immunity, and he'll just make some crappy thing out of it, and that's the way it's going to be. And Emily's like, but I don't agree. And they're like... But she didn't actually say it. She was just in her head.
Yeah, Emily did not say... I think it's important to know that Emily did not say any of this. Now, She said it behind his back, and she was right. I think that she's correct.
Yeah.
Because John is an asshole, and you don't just throw some... You know, you don't put it so that someone has to use all the crappy ingredients. Like, It still mars their record.
You can't game top chef.
Yeah, but she was saying to us, she's like, oh, well, glad John got his lobster. Glad he got his truffles. Because no one else wanted that, but he did. So glad, You know, everything she says, she's so passive aggressive. And then she gets straight up aggressive later, but she just looks like a fucking idiot. Yeah. You know?
I think in general with Top Chef, anytime there's a team challenge and people try to quote unquote strategize, like, oh, well, we can do this because we have this sort of situation. You know, Jamie has immunity, so we'll be okay because we get the shit things to Jamie. It always backfires. I mean, challenge after challenge after challenge. It's just, it's not a show where you can really employ strategy. You just have to cook as best as you can.
Well, in this episode, Tom got on somebody later for their terrible strategy.
Yeah.
And it was actually regarding this because he was like, well, why would they do that? They didn't use the strategy because what they should have done was have her come on with that and this and that, but they didn't do it. So. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Well, he made a good point, which is that they thought that they were being smart by giving the guy with immunity all the shitty ingredients. But what happens is that he's stuck making a really shitty dish, which causes them all to lose.
Yes. But she did, too. I mean, she's barely hanging on by a thread. She's lost a lot. I mean, she's always in the bottom a lot. And then she does things like stands up for deep fried. What was it last
week? Chicken livers.
Chicken livers. Yeah. And they were like, did you do this on purpose? And she's like, I stand by that. Even though she totally didn't do it on purpose. So she's making a lot of mistakes on this one.
I mean, and although I have to say, I mean, you know who always loves standing by her work is Miss Casey. Man, she does not like criticism. And that's been an ongoing thing with her for seasons. I mean, sometimes she can take it. But for this week, for instance, they had these scallops. And, you know, Top Chef scallop can really take down a lot of people. You know, scallops have been at the heart of many a controversy. I mean, going back to Ike in that Chicago restaurant, you talk about Jamie with her scallops. And now we have Casey with the scallop situation. She decided to serve her scallop raw. And as Tom noted... You know, that scallop was sitting around in a treasure box for a few hours. You know,
it's like, yeah.
You don't serve that raw.
Yeah, and she really did stand up for it. They were like, that was disgusting. Did you mean for that to taste like old expired boogers? And she's like, well, yes, those were fresh. And we checked them 10 times and they were fresh. So I stand by it. And they're like, no, they weren't. She's like, yes, they were. They were fresh. And she's looking around like someone's going to come to her defense. And Tom's like, they're not fresh. Unless they're swimming around.
I will go to my grave saying how fresh they are. Now, excuse me, I've had diarrhea for the past 4 hours ever since I tried my scallop. Did I tell you I now have Hep C?
I thought they just tasted like poop because I was smelling poop as I made them because I was on the toilet the whole time. I feel bad for her because she's one of those people who wants it so bad, and she just seems like she goes home and cries, you know. And I kind of want to hug her, but then she does things like speed walks in a mom raincoat. It's like a bright pink raincoat tied around her head. You know, she's the only one with a raincoat. First of all, she's all prepared.
The Brooke had one too.
Brooke had one too.
That's why they get along.
The rest of them had little temps. You know, like that they got for the PAs, like little plastic bag temps, like ladies at the bus stop.
I think they were only speed walking to be nice to Katsuji because he literally could not move.
So let's see who else got in trouble at the end here. The two teams that were on the bottom were Brooke's team and John's team. Right. John was the red team, I think.
Right.
And John made a lobster dish that they actually liked. They liked his, right?
They liked his, but they did not like Emily's. She made a lobster or something or another. She made something that they found was very bland. I don't remember exactly what it was.
It was a lobster chowder with chicken skin.
Yeah, they called it a mud chowder at one point. Yeah,
Padma called it mud chowder.
Padma was not having it. She was, especially when they were chasing, she was basically like, can you believe this shit? I'm Padma Lakshmi and they're serving me this bullshit right now. This is Top Chef, not Top Scallop.
Yes. And she told Jamie, she's like, oh, you made chicken satay with fennel and oranges? Well, you have immunity. At least you did something good with it this time. Damn. And then they hated his dish anyway, so.
Well, his whole thing, the reason why his went awry, they seem to indicate, is that someone turned off his grill, and so the chicken was sticking to it. So he's like, all right, plan B, toaster oven. I'm like, why don't you just grill some more? I didn't understand. I think
because it takes the grill time to heat up.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It was bizarre. But I also feel like a toaster oven does not necessarily mean death for chicken satay. You could probably still make a good chicken satay in a toaster oven.
Yeah.
But it sounded like the real issue is with the sauce he made. It was just like cloying and also unoriginal. I think they were very uninspired by it.
Yeah.
They were just unhappy. But John, when he was explaining what happened, he was saying, yeah, we gave him these ingredients and, you know, and then I made this lobster thing, da da da. And then Emily's like, okay, that's not what happened. Basically, I was doing all the lobster for John and I didn't get to make my soup.
Yeah, and no one's going to take points off from John. I see what she was trying to do, because if they're on the bottom, she's trying to throw John under the bus so she'll get saved because she knows that the chicken guy can't go home. Yeah. But they're not going to kick John off when they liked his dish and didn't like yours. And if you spent all your damn time doing his lobsters, then you're the sucker.
Yeah.
Well, and also, she used the lobster, so she wasn't only prepping his lobster. He was bossing her around a lot, though.
He was. He definitely was. But then Jamie did, again, another Top Chef cliche. He, you know, died on his own sword. He's like, I'd like to give up my immunity. It's just not right. You know, I'm like, oh God, the proud nobility of, of Top Chef. I'm like, take the immunity.
He also, you know, the guy who had the foie gras tattoos on his fingers, we got to see Jamie's last night and it was like the same lettering and everything on the same fingers, but it said, free mind. Like, seriously, shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I
couldn't. Also, Top Chef judges hate pussies. I mean, they hate pussies. If you say, I'm gonna give up my fate, like, they hate choices like that. And I know it was brave what he did, but it's a pussy move, I think, because he was trying to, like, win on nobility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was something weird about it. It seemed pussy move to me. And they were like, nope. Like, if you ever admit fault to those guys, they will kick you off immediately. Like, you have to just always completely be strong. You can't just go up and say, yeah, my dish sucked. They don't like that.
Yeah, I find this whole, like, this nobility thing to be kind of, like, so pretentious, you know? I mean, it sucks. You definitely made something crappy, but you've got immunity and you're on a reality show. This is not like, I don't know, you're not serving the queen and you're a soldier in the army and saving
people's
lives.
It's fobility.
It's just
fobility, darling. And also, if he was falling on his sword to save someone that was worth it, that would be noble. But you're falling on your sword to save Lena Dunham, she of the mud chowder. So it's like you saved her, so but you didn't really do anything good for the world, you know.
But Padma still had a mud chowder chip on her shoulder, when he got out of, Padma's like, by the way, Emily, if it weren't for Jamie, you'd be the one going home. And then Emily's response is all whiny. She's like, well, then I don't want that.
And Tom's like, too late.
And I'm like, you know, Emily, you're don't act like. Don't try to get in on the nobility game, the faux nobility game now. Just accept it and move on.
Yeah, they were trying, the chefs in the stew room trying to talk him into not doing that. And they're like, but what is, you know, like Casey, but what if you, and he's like, guys, keep your opinions to yourself. To me, pride is everything. It's like, okay, bye. So Padma was like, goodbye. Please pack your knives and go. And who won? Shirley won. I almost called her Susie
love
again.
Shirley.
Yeah, Shirley won, so that was good. And let's see here. I think that was pretty much it, right?
Yeah, it was a good episode. I was sad to see Jim go. I wasn't sad to see What's-His-Face go. You know, I love Top Chef.
Yeah, I love it too, and I can't wait to see what they're going to inspire me to cook next week, and I hope it's not breaded.
Mud chowder, Ronnie. Mud chowder.
All right, so let's move on to the Real Housewives of ATL, shall we, Ben?
You know what, Ronnie? I think that's a phenomenal idea.
That's the only idea open to us, Ben.
It is. By the way, I just want to say, if our Top Chef our recap has made you hungry, go check out our sponsor, HelloFresh.
Yeah, HelloFresh. Use your code word crappins at checkout for a discount.
Yeah, we love HelloFresh, and it has helped me with my pork chop cooking and my burger cooking. I am not gonna, I'm not even lying. We're shilling, but I'm not lying. so anyway, let's move on to Atlanta. So things start off with Aiden doing some tie-dye for Flint because Phaedra is putting together this pop-up shop where all the housewives / entrepreneurs can come and sell their wares. And then the proceeds are going to go to this, like a summer camp for kids who've been affected in the Flint crisis, which is ostensibly a very nice thing to do.
She's like, we're raising this money so the children can have Fix-It Jesus shirts and soap and other things you need at camp. It's like, okay, they're clean children in Fix-It Jesus shirts. Anything else happening at this camp?
Yeah. You know, Aiden, of course, is always so super cute. He is going to make some homemade cookies and sell them for $6.99. I was like, okay, it's a little steep, but he's adorable. He can pull it off. Cynthia calls
up. What's wrong with the people in Flint?
She goes, it's the water crisis, honey. And he said, I thought it was Africa. She's like, no, it's Flint. He said, what do you mean a water crisis? She goes, it was some poisoned water, baby. It was some poisoned water. It's like, ah, oh, I got tie-dye on my shirt. I love him.
He is really sweet. And I feel like he's very sharp, too. Then Cynthia calls up and is like asking a million questions about tablecloths and who's doing what, etc. I just like that Cynthia was very invested in this pop-up shop.
Yeah, she had like 30 questions. And Phaedra's like, I got to go. I'm with my child and I'm trying to teach him the importance of philanthropy and tax shelters.
Tax shelters. So then we go over to Sheree.
Who? You got some wall coverings? You got some wall coverings?
Wall coverings? Or as she calls it, wall coverings, or she calls them wall coverings. You got wall coverings?
You got wall coverings?
And she's at this place, and she's like, Michelle, he is so expensive. These are so expensive. I'm on a budget. These are expensive. I'm like, bitch, go to IKEA then. What are you doing?
No,
you're in
kidding.
A fancy showroom.
You're in a fancy wallpaper shop. That's all they have. When they told her, do you like this one? It's made of grass.
No, my son's got a problem with that. Carol can't be smoking this wallpaper.
Sheree, just go to IKEA and get one of those giant murals of the Flatiron building in New York City where it's all black and white except for one person's car, which is teal.
And I feel like Sheree, if Kenya got grass wallpaper, Sheree would be like, she got grass on her wall.
You mow her wall? You mow her wall?
So... Marlo comes in. She's like, hi, Sheree.
Yes.
Marlo comes in with her tits all hanging out.
Yeah,
and she's like, I'm talking to Michelle on the FaceTime today, girl.
Yeah, I think that, by the way, I think that was a very, that was like an edit that was directed by Andy Cohen. They're like, here's Marlo. But before you even see her face, just a close-up on her tits moving up and down.
Yeah, sure. Really long one.
Really long.
Let's see here.
Marlo was there in lieu of Michelle, the interior designer, because Marlo was greatest. And so they're like looking for wall coverings. And Sheree says that she wants bling, old Hollywood, 50 Shades of Grey. Grey is the new neutral. I'm like, Grey's always been neutral.
And how do you say old world Hollywood and then 50 Shades of Grey, which is new world trash Hollywood? Yeah. It's like, Not even close to the same thing. But you know what? You have to hand it to Marlo. She did find it. She's like, well, this one's gray, but it's also got some gold spots on it from old Hollywood. Check. Oh, you're very good. You're very good, Marlo. So they so they start talking about Kenya. Mm-hmm. And Sheree's like, Sheree, the ultimate shit starter this season, is like, one thing I noticed besides the grass wallpaper is that you were not Kenya's housewoman. Why not? I thought you were close with Kenya. And Marlo's like, girl, I'm getting hot now.
That was a recurring theme in this episode. Everyone was fanning themselves at some point.
Yes, yeah, so summer filming in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. She's like, I thought she was so sweet and misunderstood, and she's a rebel like me. And then, oh, I need an air conditioner. And then it cuts to Marlo, man sobbing, like, after a fight with Nene. She's like, and then she basically is going off on Kenya, who's not even there. And she's like, I don't want to deal with you, Kenya. You fake, miserable, unhappy, stupid, dumb, fake-titted. Like, damn. She came up with like 20 terrible adjectives in under a minute.
By the way, I was just impressed that Marlo and Sheree were having a conversation without resorting to little beeps and squeaks. I think we all remember their trip to Africa where they got into a fight and Sheree was like, Marlo's like, like, became R2-D2 to speak.
Classic Real Housewives of Atlanta fight. That was so good.
The beef, that was an amazing fight. The beef centered around the fact that Kenya called up Marlo and was like, hey, what should I do for my birthday? What are your ideas? And Marlo was like, get some flowers and a cake. And then Kenya didn't actually invite her to the birthday party. And so Marlo was really upset about that, which is understandable. And especially because Kenya then invited Nene, of all people. And then on top of that, Marlo didn't even get invited to the housewarming party. So
Marlo found out all of this from the biggest shitster of any Real Housewife, the Real Housewife of Instagram. Yeah. Instagram is the worst. It gets everybody into terrible relationships. It ruins friendships. I mean, Instagram has really changed the fabric of Bravo.
Yeah. I wonder, by the way, if there is a backstory to why, like a production end backstory to why Marlo didn't get invited to at least the housewarming. I wonder, was there a contract thing that hadn't been sorted out and the producer said you can't invite Marlo, or was Kenya being shady? I wonder about these things on this show because it seems to play a big role in it. But nevertheless,
well, maybe. But the cameras weren't at Kenya's birthday party.
That's exactly. So I don't know. Either way, Marlo asks Sheree about if more manner is nice, and Sheree's like, Sheree's like, no, I didn't realize she was such a cheap bitch.
It's like, she don't got plumbing. Where you shit, girl? You going down to Starbucks to shit? And I'm like, that's hilarious because you just said that that's where you're going down to shit. So,
and that's what Stassi did also in her life.
Yes.
I like that Marlo was like, you're full of shit and your house is too.
So then we get a Kenya scene, and they're really working these Kenya scenes with this music clearance. Mm-hmm. They're getting good songs for Kenya's sad scenes. It's like, it's been a long time coming.
I feel like they've resurrected Dionne Ferris and given her it's like, guess what, Dionne? We want you to score every Kenya scene from here on out.
This was a really pretty song, but it's funny that it's also bitchy because the lyrics are, it's been a long time coming, and it's Kenya looking at her broken garage. I'm like, the editors are like, we need a song that's sad, but also said, you did this to yourself, bitch.
Yes.
Anybody got one?
Well, I'm just happy that Kenya finally has a visual metaphor for her life. Broken windows, spray-painted security cameras.
That job was just terrible what he did, because he didn't even throw bricks through them. He punched them. Blood on the windows. So he
and
like
blood on the
and
car
punched.
That had splattered. Yeah. I mean, that's, by the way, it's psycho. It's psycho, psychotic. Yeah. It was bad enough when he did one little window, but then to spray paint the security cameras means that he actually went and bought some spray paint. So this is a very premeditated, obviously it was because he had to drive there, but it was like really premeditated. And to do the punching, he wanted to inflict that pain on himself. That's what that meant. He is psychotic. And even though she is a crazy lady who is totally capable of driving a man to madness, Kathleen Turner style in the 80s, I don't think there's any excuse for that sort of madness and destruction. At that point, it is now fully It lies fully.
There's no excuse for it, but there is a reason, and it's called steroids. Okay, that is roid rage. Absolutely. That is why. That is where the term comes from. That is some absolute roid rage, because that's not just a normal psychosis. That guy's just like got too much.
That's
rage.
Yeah, and well, he also, I think he was a soldier at one point, so maybe there's some weird PTSD going on with him, because that is above and beyond. I mean, it was crazy enough that he drove to Charlotte. It's crazy that he came back and he busted in the thing. And it was weird to me that Kenya was like, what the hell is wrong with him? My response would be like, oh my fucking God, like, get me the police.
Yeah, well, Kenya's really going with this whole, I'm an abused wife thing. And she is, but she needs to just stop. It's like, come on, you're too old for this shit. Like,
I
know, I get that you're desperate for a boyfriend. I get that you've probably already paid this guy off through the next couple of months or whatever, and you're wasting money by not using him on camera. But still, girl, this is enough. This is not Lifetime. You're 45 or some shit.
Well, in my view, Kenya is a very strong, independent woman. And she doesn't deal with bullshit. And so when she's sitting here being like, well, my instinct is that, you know, he's not trying to hurt me. He just wants attention, and I just feel like I can help him. I'm like, no. I don't think you think that. I think you're saying that so that way you seem more, that you seem nicer. That you seem more almost maternal and sweeter, makes us want to like you. I don't believe that's real Kenny Moore. I think real Kenny Moore is like, bye-bye.
Yeah, well, real Kenny Moore fucks with him, then he goes off, and then she acts like, what's wrong with him? Which, I mean, we've seen her do, and we know that she's like that. We've seen her do it a million times. And I'm not saying anybody is excused for behaving like that towards a woman, because there's not. But, I mean, Kenya likes to pretend like she's some Lifetime movie victim. Yeah. It's like, girl.
They both should know better, because he is obviously fucked up. He's either... He's like, his wiring is off, and his steroid use, if he's doing steroids, it's gotten crazy. But he also should know better. She's been well documented for years on TV as being a crazy bitch too. So they both should be staying away from each other. But I guess that dick is good. I guess that pussy's good.
Well, she calls Candy, and Candy's like, are you serious?
Yeah. Well, I love that when she called, the best part was, the music is all serious, and you're looking at these broken windows, and then Kenya calls Candy. And Candy did that thing where you can replace the ringtone when you're hearing the ringer with custom music, and she put her own custom thing, so it's like it's all serious, and all of a sudden you're like, ring-a-ring-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, hopefully I pick up by the time I've been singing. Ring-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, see?
Nah, phone call. So she basically is like, get the hell away from him. Get a restraining order. And Kenya's like, no, but I can't get a restraining order because he won't listen. And he's not afraid of that. And he just wanted me to respond. He knew I wasn't at home. And she's like, oh, God. Okay, well, you need to come stay at our house if this is going to be a big problem, which she actually does. She's like, wait a minute.
See?
That's just what you say to somebody.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, if Kenya... Here's the thing. He breaks all these windows. It is a lunatic. And she calls up Candy, be like, oh my God, Matt broke the windows. Oh, but he just wants me to respond. Well, then what are you calling Candy for? You know, it's like, if you're not willing, like you should be walking away from this guy. Now, of course, I understand. I understand that I'm being probably looking at this with a little bit too much of black and white eyes. Probably from very, you know, I forget the word, but where basically I'm not looking at the subtleties in a situation, and I'm just, you know, it's perhaps like male privilege of just being like, don't do that. But still, don't do that.
Well, I think it just goes deeper because it's a woman who's nearing 50. She's always stayed out of relationships for whatever reason, and now she's decided that it's time. She needs a relationship and a baby. She found this guy that's malleable, you know, supposedly he's doing whatever she wants. It's like an employee in a way, literally an employee. And I think she's just got that desperation where she's like, this is it, you know, and if I don't do this, I'm going to have to buy some sperm off the internet, you know, and do it with a turkey baster. And, you know, I don't want people making fun of me for the rest of my life. It's like some kind of desperate pride thing. And I get it. And being my age, I know a lot of girls going through it. I know a lot of men going through it. I mean, we don't get pregnant, but I get it, but it's Kenya, and it's so easy to see it when it's not you. You know, I've been obsessed with terrible relationships with people who are awful to me, but it's easy for me to see it when it's somebody else, you know? Yeah. It's like, get some pride, woman, for Christ's sake.
It's easy, it's easy for us to say, do this, do that, when we're not in the thick of it, but
well, this one is easy. I mean, there are certain lines that you just don't cross, and that's a line of violence. And then later when she's talking to Candy, just because we're probably not going to go through this moment by moment, but later when she's talking to Candy, she was saying something like, well, oh, shit, I forgot what I was going to say. That's what happens.
Well, that's okay. We'll get to it.
We'll get there.
So moving on, we then go to Cynthia's house where she's packing up because they were supposed to be moving into this lake house, but guess what? There was a glitch. So at first I thought the glitch was that she didn't have the money, but instead there's some weird situation where they did an appraisal of the house. Originally it was $900,000. Now it's the second appraisal says $600,000, so she doesn't want to pay $900 for a $600,000 house, blah, blah, blah. What was funny to me was that Noelle is like, you know, it's time for Noelle to pack up her room. And she has this whole cute wall, very teenager wall with like little, it's a chalkboard wall with all this writing and little pictures and envelopes. And she's like, can we take the wall? And he's like, you can't take a wall to a new house. She's like, are you sure? No.
It's like, can't we just cut it out and take it?
She's like, she's been way too influenced by Peter. These unrealistic expectations of the future.
And that, I like that Cynthia says things without knowing that she's saying them. Like the scene opens and she's like, now, did you unpack that big basket of balls? Look, I don't need the balls. I just need the package and the tray. And I was like, that is so fitting. That's like your whole season.
So then we go over to Phaedra's office where Kenya has shown up because she wants to know what it's like to deal with how did Phaedra deal with her violent boyfriend? So
I like also that this scene started out with every scene with Phaedra these days in her office. She's like, I need five people to come surround my desk.
Yes.
So I can tell you things. So she's acting like she's got all this going on, you know. And her assistant LaToya is like, well, Don Juan called about the event. She's like, Well, he had some questions. Well, one, Don Juan wants to know if it's kid friendly. And she goes, oh, yeah, it's kid friendly. Candy is asking if it's kid friendly. She's the one selling dildos.
She's like, Don Juan also wants to know if there's a little mouse he can chase around. And will that mouse be playing pranks on him and causing him to be embarrassed?
Should he bring his oversized pan to try and hit the mouse with?
Don Juan wants to know if he'll be in a situation where steam will be coming out of his nose and be frustrated by a little mouse. Great.
Now, Kenya comes for advice because she's like, I wanted to talk to Phaedra about this because, you know, she's an abuse victim too or whatever. So she comes over and she's like, so how's everything, girl? She's like, well, you know, I just needed advice because I know you've been through stuff in your relationship. She's like, now, how bad is it? Did he come at you with a screw gun, girl? Any kind of power tool? No? All right, then you're good. Call him, get back together, have some dinner, it'll work out.
Yeah, Phaedra basically is saying that she recommends going to counseling and try to work things out, and then if that doesn't happen, then you know, give up on it, whatever. And I like Kenya's like, wow, it's so nice that Phaedra is sharing her innermost secrets with me. I'm like, secrets that were on TV? To the country.
Yeah, that we all saw already. Yeah. Phaedra, I don't know if I would listen to Phaedra's advice. I mean, in reality, Phaedra allegedly did the best thing a woman can do, which is get that man implicated in something and have his ass taken away to prison. Yeah. So Phaedra really does know how to deal with it, but she can't say that on TV. So she's saying, well, you know, I didn't see the bad side of Apollo until we were married, because once you get married, then you see the worst in them. And Kenya's like, well, she says, do you love this man? And she's like, well, I love, this is what I was going to say earlier. She's like, well, I love the man that he is when he's not like this. It's like, no, Kenya, you don't get to make up a version of someone in your head and just love that. Like, it's a whole person, stupid. But she mentioned that she went to the police to ask about a restraining order, and the police advised her that she shouldn't, because if he goes to jail, he's not going to learn anything there. It won't do him any good. Yeah. I'm sure the police are going to say that to a woman who's had her fucking house vandalized for the second time by some crazy psycho.
Yeah.
What police did you call?
Yeah, it's at the very least, he should pay for all those damages. If he can afford it. Yeah,
at the very least, he should at least have to spend the night in lockup or something. I mean,
yeah.
I don't believe that the police said that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's probably true.
Phaedra's like, well, that's true. Jail does make him worse. I mean, he will have a job, though. You know that's where Whole Foods gets its artisan cheese.
You know there's like a whole industry based on like the new slavery of jail where they get paid like 5 cents an hour and make shit for like Walmart.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of people in jail making license plates, but I
oh, that's old school. Yeah. We really capitalized on the jail system. Damn.
Well, either way.
At least he would have a job, you know? I mean, if he was in jail, he would come out being like, I've packaged artisan cheese. I mean, people would take that more seriously than I'm a personal trainer who kicks in windows, you know?
You know, I don't know if I want, I don't know if I want my camembert coming from Matt.
Well, maybe you'll eat that camembert and be like, why am I angry?
It would be a great Top Chef challenge. Chefs, this week we're asking you to make a dish with jailhouse cheese.
Prison cheese.
Here as a guest judge is one of the nation's best prison cheese makers, Matt. Hey, everyone.
Well, when Kenya started crying, I love that Phaedra has, you know, most people have like Kleenex, like therapists. They're like, here's a Kleenex. That wasn't even a Kleenex. That was like a napkin from McDonald's. I like that she didn't even use her nice Kleenex for Kenya. She's like, hold on. I've got some leftover napkins I save in my drawer. Here you go, dear.
So then next, Kenya goes over to Candy's house to announce that she didn't file a restraining order. And she also is announcing that she's going to be staying there. That's where Kenya's like, see? Nah, Kenya.
Ooh, I wasn't expecting you to stay here. I only have two more houses. Oh, no.
And then Cynthia shows up because Cynthia needs a place to live because she's sort of homeless now also because about the lake house, etc. And so then Kenya and Cynthia are like, yeah, we're going to move in. It was actually a very contrived scene, at least in the beginning. And, you know, Candy's pretending to be surprised. And they're like, yeah, it was like a little comic relief thing, etc. Nevertheless, they start talking about this text message they received from Phaedra about the pop-up shop. And they're talking about how Phaedra was being really shady on it, and she's taking 50% of the proceeds. When Cynthia had pushed back, like, what, 50% over text, that Phaedra was shady in return, and they're like, she never said 50%. They're like, we should ask Sheree, because Sheree is like the human tape recorder. And I was like, that's really great, because Sheree does kind of sound like a cassette player, especially one that's not working very well. Because she's either really low like this, or she's like, she's like a scrubbing, like a cassette player scrubbing through the audio.
You say 50%! And then Candy's like, we'll see. Candy's like, she's not really a good tape recorder because she's like a tape recorder that changes everything you say and then relays it like all cut up.
And Candy basically starts talking about how last week Sheree kind of instigated this whole thing with Candy and Portia, because Sheree went and told Portia that Candy's been saying that Portia slept with Block. And at that point, Kenya always takes an opportunity to start a rumor. She's like, wait a second. Is Block the one who gave Portia a golden shower? Very timely.
And that's a good memory because she remembers that because they played that game. On the boat. Yeah, never have I ever. And she drank during that question. So she's like, remember she drank? This show cracks me up. Yeah. So the big meat of this episode is the Flint, the dirty water party or whatever. So they all show up and they have these little tables set up. Kenya's, of course, has an entire wall of just her face. You know, it's this big, gigantic face. And Sheree's like, oh, nice face. I hope there's some product in those water bottles, not water.
Mm-hmm.
And who else? Portia's was just like all this brown fabric.
Yeah, Portia's was weird. It looked like a gypsy tent.
It did. It was like pantyhose fabric hung everywhere.
Yeah. Well, what was funny too is that Portia, her look for the second half of this episode was short hair, which looked nice. But I thought it was a strange tactic to sell your weaves and your wigs by not having some in your hair. Unless the short hair was the wig. I don't know. It just, I thought, like, wouldn't you want to show off the volume and the excitement of your hair if you're trying to sell your hair products?
Well, maybe she got it short so she could be clipping stuff on, showing people.
No,
maybe.
That's how you put on a French braid.
Yeah.
That's a pigtail.
Whatever.
I liked Sheree's reaction to Kenya's huge banner. She's like, well, I don't know if she still has one in the bottles or does she actually have product now? Like, that's pretty bold coming from the woman who had a fashion show with no fashions.
Yeah, and she just had a little flower on her table.
Yeah.
And Kenya's like, she has one little flower over there. I hope those t-shirts can save Chateau Sheree. God bless her heart.
Yeah, but in the end, though, Sheree wound up donating more money than Kenya. So there you go. Sheree donated $5.95. Kenya only donated $4.50. So pink flowers for the win.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they brought all their Twitter people, as or their Twitter folk, as Nene would say. So let's see. What else happened here? We got to meet Apollo's parents.
Yeah, well, yeah, we've seen his mom before, but his mom looked better than ever before. Normally she looks kind of decrepit, but this time she had put herself together. She lost a little bit of weight. She did her hair. So we saw that Phaedra and Apollo's parents still have a good relationship, was that, which was actually nice, because it was, I was happy for little Aiden, you know, because little Aiden was like, hi grandma, and it was actually very sweet. I was happy for that little boy.
Yeah.
But this whole scene felt very much like Celebrity Apprentice. It was like Celebrity Lame Apprentice, you know, setting up little booths in a space that doesn't really look like a pop-up shop. It's sort of like weird and empty and kind of half-baked.
It's like one of those Celebrity Apprentices where the team challenge captain doesn't really know anybody famous. It's like one of the B-level or D-level stars, I guess I should say. And so they never have anybody famous to call and come save their ass, you know?
Yeah,
those are my favorite ones. It's like Amy Grant's like all upset that she's the team captain. It's like, this is not my decade. Sorry that I don't know, you know.
Yeah,
the cat lady or whatever.
Yeah, Cynthia was selling her eyewear. We did skip over the fact that Cynthia had one final scene at her kitchen island where she got to say goodbye to her house, and she was like, "This is the kitchen island where I burnt up my friend contract, and there's the other side of the kitchen island where I made up with Nene, and there's another side of the kitchen island where I met so and so." I was like, "Great, Cynthia, really great."
Yeah, Cynthia's whole it's like Cynthia's life passes before. Like, let's say she's on a train track and the train's coming and her whole life flashes before her eyes. She would fall asleep before she got hit by the train.
I know.
I mean, that's some boring life flashing before your eyes.
And we saw a lot of her life flashing by this episode, and none of it was interesting.
Exactly. It's just like, come on, train, hit me. My life is still playing. Hurry up.
So Marlo shows up at the pop-up shop wearing a top that looked kind of like a hefty bag. And she goes in. She ignores Kenya. But Kenya goes up to her and pulls her aside and is like, I want to have a moment with you. And Kenya tries to apologize. She's like, I am so sorry that I did not get a chance to invite you to my housewarming.
I've been going through a lot, you know, installing windows, then installing them again, then installing them again. You know how it goes. I've been texting those window people every day for months.
I gave Matt the invitation to give to you, but he just punched it. So didn't really make it all the way over.
Your invitation became a hanging chad. I'm sorry. We're waiting for the Supreme Court's ruling on whether or not you can come to my Easter party.
Yeah. But when she said, I did not get a chance to invite you, I thought two things. I thought, well, that's a real smarmy way of, like, not actually owning up to the fact that you didn't invite her. You're saying, I didn't get a chance, as if you're too busy. You had time to invite everyone else, but not Marlo. But then my other instinct was, maybe that's code for the producers wouldn't allow me. You know, that's why I started thinking that.
Well, if that was true, then she could have just called her and told her that. But
that's true,
you know,
too. That's Kenya's, true, too.
Kenya is a shitty bitch, and I think Marlo's a crazy bitch, but I think that she's right on about this one. And she didn't want her there because Nene was there. Now, that doesn't explain the housewarming. I bet you're right that the housewarming, they're like, we're not giving her a day play fee for this.
Yeah.
Because once they're kind of famous, they get like $10,000. Yeah. Well, some of them.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it was weird because Kenya's reaction to Marlo was not full out. She, you know, Marlo was like, no, 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 it was shady, you were shady. And Kenya's like, now Marlo, okay, Marlo, calm down. And Kenya was actually so level-headed about it that I couldn't tell if Kenya was, it made me think that Kenya was being really, really sincere or really, really fake. And I couldn't tell which one.
Kenya is usually the most level-headed when she knows she's wrong.
Yeah, that's
so
what
she's
I,
trying to make the
sincere.
Other people look crazy, you know?
Yeah.
There's know, nothing sincere about Kenya.
I mean,
to me, I don't think there's a damn sincere thing about Kenya.
I think you're probably right. And I think that, you know, and Marlo basically would not let Kenya have her way and went off and told Sheree that, yeah, she's fake and she's not going to fall for it ever again.
Yeah. And she's like, you're a Nene Jr.
Yeah.
Well, so that was pretty much this one. The people gave a lot of money to Phaedra, I thought.
Yeah, she got about $7,500. Candy gave $2,500, which was really nice. Cynthia gave $1,000. Portia donated 100% of her proceeds. I'm not sure how much that was. But...
I know, that could have been like negative $10. She's like,
I have an IOU here. Could you give me $10?
Yeah.
I like that Aiden was like, Miss Cynthia, would you like to buy a cookie? She's like, all right, I'll give you some money. And Phaedra goes, that's my baby. So overall, a pretty cute episode. This show cracks me up, and I'm glad they brought Marlo back.
Yeah, it was nice to have Marlo back.
I always love to see Marlo.
Yeah, I thought it was a fairly uneventful episode. However, for people who watched first Family of Hip Hop, there was an extended preview for next week's Atlanta. I don't know. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't. Well, I heard some of it. Next week the Portia fight with Candy.
Yes. So basically, they showed 2 minutes, 2 full minutes of that scene where they're fighting, and then Portia walks out, and then Portia's walking through the parking lot, and they're just like following her around, and it goes on for like 2 minutes. It was good. So I think next week we'll have some fun stuff to talk about with this show.
Yeah, the rumors of this season before it started airing were that the big meat was that Portia has some kind of nervous breakdown in the street. And keeps walking back and forth, and all the ladies are watching her from the window, just like, I guess, texting all about the tea or whatever. But I cannot wait to see
it. It wasn't
that.
A nervous breakdown from what I could tell. It looked like they were in a fight, and Portia was like, I am going to remove myself from this as per my anger management. And she walks out, and then Kenya starts to follow her. Is like, well, I'm going to go follow her. And like, Kenya, don't follow her. You're going to make it worse. She's like, no, why can't I follow her? Her anger management is working, so therefore I can follow her. So she does want to make her crazy. So Portia's trying
to
get away.
She loves to make crazy people crazy.
Exactly. So Portia's trying to get away just to get some peace and tranquility. And Kenya keeps following her. And so they're sort of, it's like watching a bunch of like ducklings walking around in the parking lot.
So like, if you don't get away from me, and then you just hear Sheree go, yeah. Portia.
Yeah, it's that tape recorder going off again. But yeah, Portia is frustrated. It doesn't look like she has a nervous breakdown. She's just frustrated. She's like, get away from me. But we'll talk more about it next week when we have greater context for that. And for now. Tomorrow, we will be back to talk some Vanderpump Rules. We'll also have our bonus episode tomorrow. We have our Patreon Google Hangout next Thursday as part of our big anniversary week. By the way, we didn't mention at the top of the episode, but we're going to try to do some giveaways. We'll keep you updated on that. Nothing is concrete, but we're going to try to do some giveaways, do some fun stuff for next week. For now, we just have to say adios. So,
adios, mother truckers.
Bye, everyone. Go enjoy a biscuit.
Oy.
Bye.